Hey guys, it's Carmen.
Hi, I'm Lada.
Hey, it's May J.
Yo, it's your boy Tone Bone Capone.
Hey y'all, this is Monroe.
Hey y'all, this is Ana Letiosa.
And you listening to Couch Time. Hey May J, they ain't ready for this one.
What's up, y'all? This is May J with the LLP Couch Time Podcast. And as you can hear, I am on the road. So I know we're a little off schedule this week. Please forgive us. We will be back on schedule next week. However, for this Thursday Friday podcast, we just wanted to highlight some of our most memorable moments. So throughout the podcast, you'll be hearing some of the most played poetry, some of the most played music, and some of the most played clips from our Couch Time episodes. I hope you enjoy.
Motherfucker, are you wearing my slides?
Yo, we're recording.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, my bad.
Hey, guys.
So, you're listening to Couch Time. When the conversation of diva comes up, especially in music, what's the first thing that you think about?
For me, when I think of a diva, the very first diva I think about is usually Whitney.
Okay.
It's usually Whitney Houston. If you say the word diva, Whitney is the first one to pop up in my mind.
So, like, what about Whitney would classify her as a diva?
I think just, like, in general, like for me, if you can stand on a stage with just, like, jeans and a t-shirt or, like, just a plain whatever, and you can just belt it out and you can do you and do, like, the best. Like, she sang one of the best, and not the best rendition of the American, you know, of the American anthem in a tracksuit.
Mm-hmm.
Her fro was popping. She was sweating. And she just... her voice, everything about that performance was earned, and it was amazing, and it was that's a diva.
Okay.
So that is a diva.
I would say Chaka Khan.
Okay.
And I would say Chaka Khan because Chaka Khan, like, fits, she's her own genre of music, like, her voice mm-hmm. is so unique, and she doesn't need any, like, bio behind her. Like, when you hear Chaka Khan's voice, you know that's Chaka Khan.
You know
that's
Chaka Khan. You don't mix that up with anybody
and
else.
She doesn't walk around calling herself a diva, which is what I would say classifies her a diva, is, like, her humbleness. Like, I hate bitches who be like, bitch, I could sing. I'm the best at it. Like, you're not the best. And
you're not really
not the last person who hit those notes. Like,
right.
There is a little person born right now who's going to scream past you, ho.
Like, as soon as that child can go, you done.
You're done. So, I think the two conversations or the two topics that we're talking about today go hand in hand. Like, divas of today, what makes them divas of today, and then respecting the game. And respecting the game, I think, doesn't just apply to hip-hop, but applies to all musical genres.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you're thinking of divas of today, first top five that come to mind?
Let me see, top five. I don't know if I have top five in America. But I would say, like, obviously, one of the obvious, like, up there in terms of top five is Beyonce. That's, like, a quote-unquote stereotypical answer, but whatever. She has earned the title of diva.
Okay.
She literally walks into a room and commands respect. I once stayed in a hostel, somebody who flew from Israel to see her. Like, people use her name as a compliment. They, like, you're like, you're Beyonce.
Yeah.
And, like, when you command that much respect from her, when other musical artists stand you,
mm-hmm.
when you are featured right. at another person's concert and you are the most exciting thing about that concert, you have earned the right to be called a diva, regardless of what you think about her, regardless mm-hmm. of how you feel about her music or discography. She doesn't have to be your favorite artist. She doesn't have to be your top favorite artist. But two things I feel like you cannot, you know, dispute about Beyonce is that she is talented and that mm-hmm. she is a diva.
She does. When she walks into a room, she demands, and, like, her presence commands attention.
She literally is a fierceness embodied in a human being's body. I would say another one that a lot of people don't think about is Carrie Underwood for me.
Okay.
Carrie Underwood does her damn thing. Mm-hmm. She gets up there. She sings all of her songs. You know, she writes her music. She's had, like, hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. She has crossed over to other genres. All that girl does is work and hustle and be humble. Like, that's all she does. Like, Kendrick was like, she's good. Like, he was like, he didn't have to tell her to sit down. She was already at the, she already had her seat at the table. It was just that they're eating her 8-course meal. Happy as can be. She gets an 8-course, not 7-course. Divas get 8-course meals.
Okay, so divas get more food.
Divas get more food.
I need to get on that diva status.
You get to eat more when you're a diva.
Food. Yes, food.
You have to eat more.
I would say Marsha Ambrosia.
Okay.
I feel like she doesn't get the attention that she deserves. Like, her, she's another person whose voice demands, like, attention. And mm-hmm. for those who don't know who Marsha Ambrosia is, she was the vocalist in Flowetry. She's amazing. Her songs are relatable. Like, she has the vocal range. And it, her presence alone just says diva. And she's very humble. That's another thing I feel divas need to have. Like, you need to be humble. Mm. Like, I hate people who are like, I'm the best at this shit. Like, yeah, you can be the best at it, but your mouth doesn't need to say it.
Exactly.
Your actions.
You diminish yourself by having to stay. Like, I'm not saying when people come for you, don't correct them. Like, that's important, I think, to stress. Like, a diva can handle her own. Like, when Beyonce shit everybody at her concert and put up all the rumors about her mm-hmm. and they flash on that screen, she was calling everybody out.
Hashtag I'm Rich James, bitch.
Yes. Yes. So I have no problem with, like, if someone's coming for you, if you, you know, you gotta, like, put them in their place real quick. But yeah, if you have to run around, I'm a diva, I'm the best, probably not. You yeah. probably aren't.
I would say Marsha Ambrosia and then Rihanna.
Okay.
I think Rihanna deserves, because Rihanna's all about that bag.
She is. She is.
Rihanna will
again, you don't have to like her. You don't have to think she's a great person.
Not at all.
She's done some stuff that I don't personally, you know, agree with.
But you gotta respect her hustle.
You gotta respect her hustle. You gotta respect that she's been out here since she was a little teen. Riri is about that coin. Like you said, Riri is about that life. Also, she's like, she's an iconic, like, fashion symbol.
And she's just bad as fuck.
She is. She
like,
is.
Just simply put it, Rihanna is, like, everything.
Rihanna looks like she'd hit you on, like, she just looks like, she smacks you with her eyes.
You didn't see that clip where she, like, slapped somebody with the microphone?
She did, because they grabbed her. She bopped grabbed her.
She turned around, she like, bop, and then started singing again. I was like,
yes.
That's a queen, right? That's
I guess I did. I did that. See, you know, yeah. And I was like, man, I hate to keep going back to her, but when Beyonce show could get up, and she was like, lights! Somebody getting fired. Hey, hey! I was like, whoa, Jesus.
Oh my goodness.
To fire someone mid-song and I'll miss a beat.
And I think that's why the women that I chose to be like divas of today, just like the two, because I can't think of five either. But I feel like I respect them because they're humble mm-hmm. and they know where they come from.
Right.
Like even Beyonce, she's done so many tributes to so many different
She singers. Has respectfully oh my God.
Rihanna always mm-hmm. talks about the people who she looks up to.
Yeah.
Like Marsha Ambrosia has written music for Michael Jackson. Like they never think that they're too big. And Marsha Ambrosia actually performed at the Nipsey Hussle funeral. Rest in peace to mm-hmm. Nipsey Hussle. And you could just see it all in her face that she was hurt.
Yes.
But she still composed herself. And she still was able to sing and pull it together. And then when she walked off that stage, she looked like she was breaking down. Mm-hmm. But she still walked up there and did what I would think making Nipsey proud.
I agree. And can we point out that I feel like someone who truly, and this is kind of leaning into our other topic, which I'll circle back around to. Yeah. But I feel like part of being a diva, like you said, it's not only know where you come from, but A true queen can still wear a crown without trying to diminish another queen's crown.
Thank you.
And I think that goes hand in hand with, like, respecting the other artists. You know? Like, she did her tribute and did try to make herself the center of attention at Nipsey's funeral.
Yep. Absolutely. So, actually, I kind of want to shift over to respecting the game, because mm-hmm. I think that's a really good intro. As I mentioned, Nipsey Hussle passed away God rest his soul. Like, it's been a week or a week and a half now?
I think it's been about a week and a half.
A week and a half, at most 2 weeks ago. And I've been really appreciating the outpour of respect. Mm-hmm. The fact that the gangs have actually kind of brought the peace in honor of him. The police have came out and said that Nipsey Hussle was a big icon in the community. He was really trying to stop the violence. But something that's been annoying me is the disrespect that comes with death. And I don't know if it's because Nipsey Hussle is a hip hop artist or if it's because of the reputation that people seem to believe that he preceded. But I've seen so many disrespectful memes, mm-hmm. memes towards him. I've seen, especially local artists. So anybody who knows what LLPS does, we are all about giving exposure to Chicago local artists. And I've been seeing so many local artists, even ones that we work with, be disrespectful as fuck. And I'm like, this is an artist. Like, this is a person who, if you're a true artist, you respect other artists, mm-hmm. even if they're fucking trash. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I hate a lot of mainstream rappers now. Like, I feel like you don't have a message. You talk about drugs all the time. But I respect your hustle. Like, you going to get that bag. Do you, boo? I love seeing black men and melanated men. I love seeing people who love the art make it in life. But when you start disrespecting an icon of a culture, mm-hmm. the hip-hop culture is when I have a problem with you. Especially if you're saying you're an artist. Because that's when you really start disrespecting the game. True. A game that you're supposed to be a part of. So it was really bothering me that people were like going on this whole Kodak Black versus Nipsey Hussle thing when Nipsey Hussle never had he wasn't able to like defend himself. He's right. Dead. Like,
he's dead.
Like, and I just felt really triggered by that. I'm yeah. like, fam, y'all are stupid as fuck for this whole I'm with Kodak Black when he's the one who said the disrespectful thing.
Right.
Talking about Lauren London. Like, first of all, she would have a fuck with you because you look about ugly as fuck and you dusty as hell. But that's a different subject for a different time.
Straight up, take him to Walmart and develop him, bring him back, and then we can talk then. Maybe.
Walmart. Girl, take him to Sears.
Take him to CVS,
CVS. You going too high in prices, girl. Sears are closing. They got the 70% off sale.
That's true. Take him to Sears. Get those photos developed. And, you know, bring back to the table when you're done.
So, for all who don't know, a couple of rappers actually reached out to Nipsey Hussle, who responded. Rappers and R&B artists, T.I. said something. The Game responded. Tyrese responded. And what is the other singer? Avant. He responded. Yeah. He responded so elegantly. Like, I was having a hard time understanding what he was saying because he was so soft-spoken. And all I heard was like, that's not the move, bruh. And I was like, why are you talking so sexy? Speak up. We can't hear you. But the only person that Kodak Black responded to was T.I.
Right.
And I was like, maybe it's because you knew if you responded to the Game, something bad would have happened to you. Because everybody know the Game is about that life. Mm-hmm. But I honestly, even though T.I. is very poised, mm-hmm. I feel like T.I. still get dirty.
No, T.I. definitely. You can tell T.I. T.I. will stomp you like that lamp stop that Pixar letter at the beginning of every movie.
T.I. is definitely about that life.
Yeah.
He's definitely about that life. So I just found it funny, and I want to play a clip of the response from Kodak Black.
Mm.
He's making a diss song about T.I. So let's just...
That's crazy, because like, man, like, you niggas scared in a bitch. Like, you niggas already on the news, on the TV.
I'm sorry, like, but he looks like a rejected character from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, that's what you were thinking? Do you remember the very first Mario movie? Like back from
yes,
the 90s and the
I
green
do.
Things with the spikes coming out of their head.
Yes!
That's him. That's him.
That's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. T.I. Pen, Tiffin. Then, like, y'all people doing the most on the internet, every little chance a nigga get go viral. Oh, I'm a woo-woo-woo, pray for him, you know, that. But.
No one understood that.
You know what I'm talking about? Woo-woo-woo. You feel me? Then.
That's what the you're not saying anything. Ooh, like, ooh, everybody went crazy, like, woo, woo, woo. Then, like,
that's
say something.
That's the preview
Kodak.
Of his new song.
Woo, woo, woo.
Woo.
Dan.
Well, I was saying Dan on the door, Larry Lou. All right.
You making songs feel like nigga lying. Like, bitch, you ain't riding or nothing. Yeah, like trying to get in the game, nigga. Take your ass out the game, like right now, nigga. Shit, like, well, you really fool. Like, you should have made one of your little faggot ass little sons right around.
First of all, fake little sons.
He said faggot ass little sons. Oh. Now let's just talk about T.I.
and
the game of hip hop, right?
Homophobic trash.
That is some homophobic ass trash, and I'm just waiting for people to get on him like they really should. But let's just talk about T.I. and his staple in hip hop, right? T.I. has been doing this since I was in elementary school, if not before that. And I'm 25, and I remember Paper Trails. Like, I wasn't supposed to be listening to those albums, but when I got a cell phone, it was like, no, my mom couldn't tell me shit. Like, I was listening to what I wanted to. And if you're listening, Mom, I'm sorry. But I
have to get beat.
I am. I'm going to come to the house. She's like, you was listening to what? She
have a switch ready for you.
I am too old for a fucking switch.
You know what I was like, you're never too old.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true. I'm going to get a talking to and a whooping. But anyway.
Yeah.
No, but like, T.I. has been out for a long time. And Kodak Black, he's fairly new in the game. And I'm not putting anything against Kodak Black's music. I'm not a fan of it, but I know that, you know, he's out here trying to do his thing. I have a problem when the younger generation disrespects the older generation. That's really a problem to me. He's like, well, you went out the game, now you trying to come back. T.I. has never left the game. T.I. actually stepped aside, excuse me, to bring people into the game. Like, he's doing his hustle show. You know, he was promoting the hip-hop showcase.
He's also in movies.
He's in movies.
He's branching out.
He's doing features.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so T.I. is not out of the game. He's just monopolizing on all of his talents. Whereas, I don't really know if Kodak Black is even reaching back to grab other people to bring them up. You know what I'm saying?
They probably can't understand any offers he's making.
Oh my God. I just want to know, where did the respect go?
See, we just gave him two new singles.
We did.
Where did the respect go? I don't know what he's saying.
Let's try
to. I don't
someone.
Even know. What you saying?
Let's
try. Friend Goku-san.
Oh, my God.
Girl, that shit really, like, booted in. That shit really, like,
I thought you said poutine, really, but I know he doesn't know what that is.
That shit really, like, booted in, you feel me? Yeah.
Okay, I just want to say this. You hype men make me mad as hell. Like,
you
Don't be around there like boosting him up, talking about, yeah, you said that shit. What did he say? Like,
could you please upload some subtitles while you're being hyped? Can you make some signs so that we understand what your boy is saying?
But my thing is, like when you go to the studio and you ever hear those songs that you know are bad,
yeah,
and you know somewhere in that studio there's that one person like, yeah, man, you did that
Ooh,
shit.
You killed it. You murdered it. Shit. You murked it.
What the fuck did he kill?
You can't even kill the gnat flying around in the studio.
I just pray that when I'm working on my art, that there's that one person in my life that was like Ashley or, you know, May, whatever, that was trash.
My best friend would never let me get out there, look a hot mess, and be like, you did so good.
But everybody needs that one ignorant person in their life that just lies to them all the time, I guess. So he holding here. Now, if you could see this video, which is on YouTube, he's holding his pants where his penis is. Pants, and they're really big. And he has like this big chocolate. Like, remember when you was a kid, you got some big chocolate like coins
right around Easter,
right around Easter.
Yeah,
and it was like wrapped in that aluminum.
That's
gold.
What it looks like he's wearing right now.
That's what he got on his neck. So let's go back.
Come on, that dog, like niggas. Trying to call the radio, call the billboard, old cancel the music, last sign the politicians. Like, you niggas really mad because you niggas can't rap better than me, so y'all really just trying to look, okay, boo boo boo, trying to take them out. Like, but you know what I mean?
Can't rap better than you. First of all, can you?
I moved to cancel Kodak Black. I mean, on this podcast, we will be promoting artists and playing music and, you know, streaming music. And I would just like to say Kodak Black will never get a play on this podcast. And, you know, it doesn't even matter. So if you're listening and you're just a Kodak fan, just know that LLPS has canceled Kodak Black. And I feel like the reason why he's so mad is because he doesn't know what expeditiously means. So let's... what really annoyed me about Kodak Black was when he was giving that bogus-ass apology to Lauren London.
Yeah.
He was like, rest in peace to dude.
To dude. Didn't even bother to learn his name or say his name.
Like, and you know his name.
That's so disrespectful.
Right.
That's so disrespectful. Like, you have no... I can understand how maybe there's certain genres where, like, certain artists don't necessarily know everybody or, like, many people in that. But, like, in your genre, there is no reason for you not to know the big wigs, the legends, the everybody who came before, like, the most relevant trendsetters or the people who are doing the most for the community. There is no excuse for you not to know who they are. And if you don't know who they are...
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the hole up.
I just don't understand, like, when it comes to Kodak, like, this is beyond Jacquees or Jacquees disrespectful. Like, Jacquees a few months ago said that he was the king of hip hop. And then when they were like, yeah, defend that shit, he came out and do a remake of Soul For Real, My Love.
Right.
That's not the name of the song, but we're just going to go with it.
That's, yeah. I knew what you meant, though.
I'm like, that's not the name of the song. It's okay.
I knew exactly what you meant, though.
Candy Rain is the name of the song. So he took a rip of Candy Rain and just basically changed up some words. But I'm like, the king of R&B creates his own content. And then he got in front of Keith Sweat, who many will say is the king of R&B. Because I feel like everybody who was born in like the early 90s, late 80s, was conceived to a Keith Sweat song. Keith Sweat, Luther Vandross.
Yes.
Let's see, who else was a really good crooner around that time? Keith Sweat, Luther Vandross, depending on how old your parents was, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Like, you were conceived to some black men crooners. Barry White. I don't think that Barry White sounds sexy, but
a lot of people.
Oh my God. My mom puts on some Barry White.
And she's just wild.
It's like she starts to shudder. And I'm like, I don't need to see this. But like, so you get in front of an icon who basically paved the way, you know. Let's just be honest. Someone who paved the way for you to do what you love to do. Like, I think of it as, like, every poet who came before me, who wrote, who produced artwork, like, I thank them for doing what they do, because if it had not been for them, I may not be able to write as freely as I do now. You know, I may not have the outlets to be as outspoken as I am. Mm-hmm. But you get people like Keith Sweat and Stevie Wonder and all these R&B guys or Motown guys and Tevin Campbell, who went through all this stress, and Prince and Michael Jackson.
Tevin Campbell. Can I just shout out for a minute, eye to eye? Like,
yes.
Oh my goodness. Tevin Campbell. My first cartoon crush.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. I know that whole dance routine. Do not play with me.
Like, Tevin Campbell is everything.
Yeah.
Like, everything. I think my first song from him that I loved was Can We Talk?
Yes.
I'm gonna go this ride for a second. And if the sound quality of that was not great, that's from my iPhone, so blame Apple.
I blame Apple for a lot.
Well, that's because you're not an iPhone user.
It's true.
But like, okay, so Jacquees should not have went off on him like that. Well, you was king of your day, but I'm the king now. Like, if you don't sit your ass down somewhere and create some original content.
That's the equivalent of somebody walking into somebody else's country, walking through it to another country and then being like, I'm the king. When you didn't, like, stop and, like, get anything. You didn't conquer anything. You didn't set up a new society. You're like the laziest colonizer ever.
Back in biblical days, your head would have been on a stick.
Exactly. You know, high key, little side note, if dueling was still a thing, this topic probably wouldn't even need to be discussed. No. If you had to actually deal with somebody, if you had to risk like having a duel because somebody called you out because you were running your mouth around, this would not be a thing. Because a whole lot of people would be on mute.
Yeah, head cut off. Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. Get you something to drink. Put your feet up. We're not done talking about the foolishness.
Get a snack.
I need a snack.
Think about not being disrespectful.
I really need something to drink. My mouth is parched.
He doesn't know what parched means.
We'll be back. We're trying to mix it up, you guys. So, Mari, I know that you went to ASIN yesterday. How was it?
I sure did. It was a shit show.
Oh.
That's exactly what I heard.
It's always a shit show.
I'm glad
it's,
I didn't
It's a
go.
Wonderful shit show.
Was it wonderful?
I love ASIN.
I mean, like, I love seeing all the cosplayers every time. It's the dedication and amount of detail that they put into the characters themselves. And a lot of people do stay in character, which I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know me, don't come up to me, say my name, say my character. I'll respond.
Great.
Okay, cool. None of that creeper shit. I get
That's
you.
That's the main rule. It's a badge. You can't just go up there saying people real names.
Right. Like,
nobody is who you think they are.
That's how you get snatched.
That's a true statement.
On a side note, that's why I didn't want to get like one of those hoochie stamps on my names. Cause like, what happens if you're at the beach, right? And somebody walk up to you like, "Yo, Ashley," and I'm like, "Do I know you?" He's like, "We met this many years ago," and
you
I'm like,
"Completely forget about that tattoo."
Exactly, and I'm like, "How you know me?" So I completely get it. But yeah, continue to tell us your review of ASIN.
Yeah, the cosplayers were great. I didn't go to any panels this year, actually, which was kind of disappointing. Last year went to, I want to say 10-12 panels in a day. They had, in my opinion at least, just for myself, a lot more things I was interested in. This year we were trying to go to one and there was a line like out the door and around the corner.
You must have showed up late.
No,
you
like
had to be
it
at
had
a panel at like 3 hours before if you want to get a. And if see, it's like, somebody important, like
right,
we went for the
like, we didn't Mortal do Kombat it last
one.
Year.
Well, I went for the Mortal Kombat one probably like 5 years ago, and they had Scorpion there, and that was a long line.
Yeah,
but they had it also in a bigger room, so everybody was able to fit.
And but like this one wasn't even like a guest speaker; it was like build your own waifu shit.
Oh, ew. Why?
Because it's a thing.
But you also have to think about, like, when you have someone from Mortal Kombat coming, they were announcing that Mortal Kombat game that was coming, that just came out, like, wait, last year, this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they had announced that game a few years back. So people were pumped, and it was really giving that game a lot of gas. But so I can see why Mortal Kombat had a line outside the door
they were
and around the corner.
10 at the time, I think, or 9 at the time, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And that was the main attraction for it. And he was in there. He was demonstrating. It was actually really, really good. But when it comes down to those panels are a big thing at ASIN.
Yeah.
Like, you get your booklet the first day, or day zero, as we call it, in the business. And you look through there. And as you're looking through it,
the
they have
expert.
All of them put out. Well, I used to work at ASIN every now and again. I did volunteer a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I do recommend. It's a great experience. But when you get a booklet and you go through the booklet and they give you all these different things to do. So you kind of like plan out your experience day by day for the first, second, and third day as you go. And there's always something to do. That's the best part about ASIN is that it's something going on 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you might go to a panel in the morning time or in the afternoon time, stop into the game room in the evening, and then hit up an anime viewing session. Whatever.
Hentai. He's talking about hentai.
No, they just brought that back.
Oh, okay.
A few years ago, they stopped doing the hentai portion. So it was just anime all night.
Mm-hmm.
They would do like one series for that whole little 8 hours.
Oh, so yeah. That was hentai all night.
So they have both.
Now they're doing the bound chicken wow wow. Okay.
So let's just talk about the funniest part. So I went to a hentai showing. Because, you know, you went at ASIN. And
that had to be awkward.
No, so the funniest fucking part, because, like, we say, obviously, we're going, and we're like, oh, no one's actually taking this seriously. And then we realized how seriously some people might have taken it when security came in at intermissions and were like, hands up, everyone, hands up. And we're like, oh, shit.
You know what would have made that so funny? If they walked up to people and let me smell your hands.
Funny as fuck. Wow, so. The floors must be terrible after that. Like, oh no.
You walk through and you see them temporary vibrators.
It's an interesting thing. I will say it's just interesting. But when it comes down to it, ASIN is a very great experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It has its pros, it has its cons, but if you go to ASIN, you have to stop in for the signature soap bubble that happens that Saturday night, second evening.
Be there
early or else you won't get in until 3 a.m. and then they'll close on you. But it is a wonderful thing. Always have your ID, of course, because they don't let you in without your ID. Mm-hmm. Don't bring a bag because they ain't going to let you in with the bag.
They do now.
They check the bags. You know what? When I first started going, they checked the bags. And then the last year I went, they stopped checking the bags and said you couldn't bring it in.
You couldn't bring anything
in. And so everybody had to leave their bags outside or have someone take it to their car or whatever.
Or in the rooms.
I thought they was just going to stick with that. I guess they did change it. Because they did have a couple scares, nothing violent scares, mostly just people coming in with medication or whatever. It wasn't that wasn't legal or wasn't, you know, their medication. So, but they did, I will say ASIN does catch that pretty quick. I was on the security detail at the time where, you know, we do keep up with those different things. So we do make sure that they do make sure that everybody is safe at all times. And it is a great experience. It's wonderful fun for all around ages. But when it does come down to the soap bubble and the rave that happens that Friday, you do have to be of age.
Mm-hmm. So LLPS will be at ASIF next year. We will be cosplaying. So look out for us because never been. Yeah, we're going to go, girl!
I got to get my outfit ready there. Now. I just have to figure out what I'm going to wear.
Exactly.
I'm probably going to be Tony Stark.
Oh, I thought you was going to say T'Challa because then I was going to be like, yes, I could be the Storm and we could go together.
But well, there are 3 days, so, you know, I could be
Are you going to dress up Tony something Stark. Different each day?
Yes, I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to do Tony Stark and then I might do T'Challa and then I might do Black Panther. Ooh. Depending on how I feel at the time. I know I will be at the tables because I do like to buy my merchandise. And I got to stop into the gaming room because I know it's a couple Tekken players. I have to stop in and fight. So
they added VR.
I saw. I did see that on the ASIN Facebook page. So that is going to be something interesting.
There's so many things you could choose to dress up as.
Yes.
That's really exciting.
Mostly anime, but you can also do superheroes from the MCU or from the DC universe. I did see that she did Harley Quinn.
You did Nurse Harley, right?
I did Nurse Harley.
Yeah, I really enjoy your renditions of Harley.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It takes so long to put on the makeup.
I know when I used to go, I used to not dress up. I didn't dress up at all. I just wanted to enjoy the festivities, take pictures as much as I can, and play as many games when it came down to board games and you know, different things. And I'm probably going to butcher this, but like, what is it? The Werewolf Town game or whatever it's called. I did enjoy that. And I know I butchered it. Please put the name in the comments below.
If you know. If you know.
So
that should be the name of this podcast.
It could be. Yeah,
that's definitely. What it is.
We get a new name every time, y'all.
And next year when ASIN come around, please be there because I want to kick it with all of y'all, and we want to definitely turn up on that I was going to say humans against humanity. That is not
wow.
Cards against humanity. Please don't hate me for butchering that. It's been a long morning.
I just want to let you know that his name is Tome Bone Malone, Capone, that's Tone. So when you're talking about whoever butchered Cards Against Humanity, please at him, because it wasn't us.
Right. It was the only dude here.
Just want to put that out
Tone,
there.
Tone, Bone, Capone. Let's get that straight.
Okay.
All right.
Tone, Bone, Capone. All right. Well, guys, I had an interesting day. I didn't go to AIDS Saturday festivities, but I don't know if you know, but Tyler, the Creator's new album, Igor, dropped. And so I spent the day making Anna here and Tony listen to it. And I got some things to say.
So what do you have to say?
Who was he talking to?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, so who's that person there?
I think I want to say conspiracy theory here. I believe it was Jaden Smith.
I mean, he did come out and say, you know, that was his boyfriend.
Yeah, so. But Tyler never confirmed. He was just like, you play too much.
That could be taken as, yeah, because he didn't say no.
He didn't say no. He but just said you play too much.
The album had this really, it was this really cool, it was like the first song or the beginning of the album was had the vibe of Can We Be Friends? And then towards the middle, it was like, I love you. I'm in love with you. I think this is real. And then towards the end, it was like, fuck you. I hate you. I don't want to see you again. So it was like, okay. But something I did notice that Tyler, the Creator, did differently this time was he didn't really rap. There was more singing. It was a neo-soul R&B vibe to this album. Okay. And I dug it. I was like, okay, so.
I'm going to have to listen to it again.
So do we know, like, how long their fling actually lasted?
Or if it wasn't a fling? It might not have been a fling.
Or what it was?
I don't even know. I'm just
it was
talking.
Just kind of, like, up in the air.
And honestly, they were just hanging out.
It was just there, and then it wasn't there.
Yeah. Jaden Smith tweeted that they were a couple. And Tyler, the Creator, never confirmed or denied. He just kind of was like, oh, you played too much. You cute. Kind of like one of those comments.
Okay. I mean, like, but he wasn't like, you know. Now maybe he just don't tell these people we date.
Maybe he just didn't want to put a label on it or whatever. Or he, you know.
He kind of just wanted to see where it went.
Yeah. You get a lot of those where you just like,
we'll date
and see how that goes. But we ain't dating. We just out here just having a good time. And that's more of the type of stigma that people have these days.
But, you know, for me, and what I've always appreciated about Tyler, the Creator, is that Tyler doesn't have people in his business. Like, he's not a very public person. Like, you've never seen Tyler, the Creator, out here on TMZ holding no one's hand.
That's true.
Like, he's very private about his private life. So, he may have well been dating Jaden Smith, and they called him, like, yo, shut up.
Right.
I don't want people knowing what's my business. But either way, Igor is a bomb album. His last album he did prior to that was also really good. It's, I want to call it Butterfly. Let me just fact check his album.
Once again, I have not listened to this in depth. I need to. I was kind of listening and I kind of wasn't. It's been one of those early mornings and I was playing the game. But from what I hear, what I heard, I should say, It was pretty good. It was very artistic listen.
So the prior album to this was Flower Boy, and I think that's where he rapped on Flower Boy, but he kind of started transitioning to more of that soul vibe. Yes, thank you, Monroe. It was Flower Boy. But Anna, how did you feel about the album? Because I know we listened to that song, Are We Still Friends, a couple times, and you seem to nod your head a little bit. I know he's not really your genre of music.
Well, it's just something that's extremely different because nowadays you really don't have a set genre that you have to stick by. And I think that's pretty nice. You kind of just explore your musical talent and just see where it takes you. You don't always have to rap or sing. You can kind of just, you know, incorporate whatever kind of music that you want to put to your words. You could say the same words. You can have all different kinds of abstract music. You just do whatever you want. And I think that's kind of what he did with this album.
Oh, dope. Yeah, dope. Dope, dope, dope. So, in other words, y'all go back and listen to the album. Everybody, please. I'm sorry. Everybody, please listen to Tyler, the Creator's album, Igor. Igor. It's really good. I will say that cover, where he kind of looks like Grace Jones, is disrespectful. But
I mean, yeah, I was like, who is that? That can't be. Okay, yeah, it's not. All right.
So, like, since we're talking about latest releases, I'm going to delve a little bit into the Latino community. Maluma dropped his new album.
Hey!
And Madonna's on one of those songs.
Ooh!
I don't know.
How do you feel about it?
I don't know how I'm feeling about her, like, whole Madam X vibe right now. But, you know, she doing her thing. She's, like, what, 50 now?
She's a little older than 50.
She's a little up there.
She's a little older than 50. Funny story, my boss and I were looking at going to the Madonna concert that's going to be in Chicago in October, and her starting tickets were $500.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, I will be bootlegging that.
I mean, like, overall, though, it's really hard for me to, like, play an album all the way through. Like, I will skip it, and then I'm like, wait, let me go back and listen to the song. But I was able to listen all the way through. Also, super big crush on Malou Mas, so that might be half the problem.
Hashtag soon to be hubby.
I'm totally feeling awkward. So if we're gonna talk about artists, right, what do you think about Logic's new song with Eminem?
Oh my god.
Logic is almost getting canceled by his own community. So I really think that, you know, you have this spotlight to do something great with somebody great, and you kind of didn't make it as great as you could have. The song ended shortly, and I don't know what that was at the end, or who that was, or why that was. I personally was a little disappointed, because it was definitely a lot different than Under Pressure. I felt like the pressure to put on Under Pressure kind of made it better than his recognition now. He just kind of feels like he has to defend his art.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get from Logic.
Yeah.
I feel like when Logic first came out, he felt the need to describe himself.
Right.
A lot of what he rapped about was where he came from, his nationality. Now he feels the need to prove, I'm a rapper and I can rap.
Right. He's like, I'm not too old. I'm not saying something stale. I'm still relevant. Recognize me, please. And I don't really feel like he should be begging his listeners to recognize him. I just feel like he should still be himself.
When it comes down to that song, I am a huge Eminem fan, as you all know. I supported him through all of his phases. I even had some favorite songs on his Relapse album, and people hated that album, but I liked it. When it comes down to Logic trying to rap with Eminem, I don't feel that he was doing his style. I feel like he was trying to do a lower budget Slim Shady, and I felt like that was not where he should have took that. When it came down to it, I feel like if he would have, you know, rapped like himself when I first listened to him back in a couple years ago, he could have, he's a great rapper, don't get me wrong, when he is rapping his way. When he gets on a track with somebody else, now he wants to switch his style up. He wants to rap like someone else. And you can't rap like Eminem. It just doesn't work that way because it fits him.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
I also felt like Eminem, as he was rapping, kind of slowed it down.
Instead of taking
his own approach. Because Eminem gets on a song and he just totally murders it. Whether the person keeps up and murders the song with him
or not.
Mm-hmm. There's been several times where he's been rapping on somebody's track, and when they got Eminem's version, they was like, oh, let me redo my verse.
Great.
So. I feel like, and I agree with you, I honestly feel like Eminem did not give it his all in that song. Like, if you listen to his song with Joyner Lucas, like, Joyner Lucas went ham. Like, Joyner Lucas was comparable to Eminem's style, but I feel like when Eminem gets on a track, that other artist, whoever is featuring, even if it's his song, I feel like you need to give it your all and not try to replicate Eminem's style, but be yourself to the best of your ability. And I honestly feel like Logic is still trying to figure out who he is as an artist. And I think that's how come he's struggling so much. Because any artist, like, for instance, Joe Budden knew who he was. Joe Budden was that emo rapper. Joe Budden talked about depression. Joe Budden, even when he was with Slaughterhouse, he talked about his struggles with mental health. He was that angry, misunderstood artist. And no matter what song he featured on, Joe Budden was always going to be Joe Budden. When you get on a track with another artist and I can't tell who you are anymore because you're not following the brand that you built of yourself, there's an issue.
Yeah, I feel like that was an extremely elementary amateur move for him to be on his what is it, 7th studio album plus this new one makes 8. I really feel like he should kind of know better.
Plus mixtapes.
Yeah, 5 a.m. compared to Homicide era, I don't really believe it's comparable at all.
Well, let's just even compare songs. If you can play Africarian to this song, like that you, Logic literally rapped himself out. He sounds like he's hit his peak and he's going back down. And he's not even at the peak of his career yet. He's still young.
Even though people really didn't like the Everybody album, I really do feel like he put his all into it. And with this Supermarket album, I don't know what happened. He went from, you know, I'm a rapper hardcore to let me do some guitar country music. Yeah. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with switching up your genre. You know, music is very how you feel. It's you and your music. So if that's him, that's great. But I just feel like he dropped a bombshell on us and we didn't know how to respond to it.
I also think it's your confidence. When you drop a song and you're confident about it, your confidence, like there's been lots of music that I didn't like. For instance, Blueface Baby. What beat are you rapping on?
All right, wait. No. In Blueface's defense, he got a new song, Stop Capping, and it's catchy, and he's actually on beat.
Is he on the back beat or is he on the actual beat?
All right, well, he's a little laggy on the beat, but he's still on the beat, though.
Like, on the beat. Bust Down Tatiana, I didn't know what beat he was on. Like, Cardi came on there and she killed it, and then he come on Blueface Baby, I'm Every Woman's Something Fantasy, and I'm just like, what are you talking on? But even him, he gets on these songs, and I think what makes you like the song, besides the fact that he don't know where the beat is
he's confident. He's still doing his thing.
100% he's himself.
Exactly. And he don't give a fuck that he ain't rapping on that beat. He gonna get his verse off.
He's gonna make sure he put as many syllables inside that 1 second time frame as he can.
He walked into that studio session. He said, I'm gonna get my shit off.
So, hey, the Stop Capping is kind of lit, though. I just want to put that out. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. It's actually pretty dope.
Also, if you have not listened to Logic's new song with Eminem, please go listen to it. Let us know what you feel in the comments below. Let us know if we're hitting some of your feelings or not.
And tell us about some rappers you want us to discuss. I do want to talk about Joyner, though.
Let's talk about Joyner.
This man is a very good rapper. Yes. I've been listening to his albums a little bit more lately.
Yeah.
And I do like what he did with Eminem. I also like what he did with Chris Brown, and that's what made me listen to Joyner more.
You know they're talking about doing a Joyner and Chris Brown album, right?
Well, they started. I don't know if they did it or if they started it, because I got one song with him, and then I heard another song, and they both had the same like album cover backdrop thing. So I don't know if they started it or if it's out and I just can't find it, but I've been looking for it, and they sounds go hard. But then, you know, Chris Brown, he don't really sing nothing that's not hard. Gonna go hard.
Yeah.
New album ADHD, and it's almost finished.
If you guys don't know who Joyner Lucas is, Joyner Lucas is the rapper who kind of surfaced, and he released the "I'm Not Racist" video, which brought up a lot of conspiracy because people didn't really research to find that it was the same person doing both parts. But Joyner Lucas is a very, very, very talented rapper. I don't believe that he deserves the credit that he does. And honestly, unpopular belief, opinion here, but I feel the...
Can I cut in on you real
quick? Yeah, go for it.
I just want to let you know you did a typo just now. You said, I don't think he deserves the credit that he does. That
I'm sorry. First of all, it's not a typo, but okay. Whatever. I think he doesn't get the credit that he does deserve. And for an unpopular opinion, there was some beef between Tory Lanez and Joyner Lucas. And they did some, you know, songs, and people actually said that Tory Lanez won that beef. I just want to say I was on Joyner Lucas' side. I picked a side. Joyner won.
Tory Lanez. I'm going to check it out. I'm definitely going to check it out because I haven't listened to it.
We're going to bookmark this topic and come back to it next week. But we need to have a segment about rap beef.
Oh, I'm definitely down for that. I'm always down for either rap beef or just freestyle battling in general. Like, I feel like freestyle battling is, like, the basis of all rap. Like, when it comes down to rapping, you can be great with the lyrics. You can be great with the flow, but to come off the top of the head and spit something that, you know, was not written, that wasn't something that you had prepared beforehand, that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of brain power. It takes a lot of skill. And I believe that's rapping it in its rawest form right there.
Also, something that's been infiltrated into hip-hop, I think it's really cool, is battle rap.
That's freestyle.
But not just, like, people are doing the battle rap style. I understand the freestyle, but I'm speaking more of the punchline. Yeah. Like, it's one thing to have great lyrics, but when you come with a dope punchline that I have to pause the song and be like, wait, did you just say that? Like, I enjoy that about hip-hop now and a lot of the rap beef. But can we talk about the RN beef? R&B singers are kind of having beef now.
I had to look at you look crazy because I didn't know what she was talking about, the R&B beef. I was like, we got R&B beef in the freezer?
Wow. So me and Mariela had a conversation a couple months ago about Jacquees.
And LMA.
And LMA and Jacquees and all these rappers. Like, if you listen to a prior podcast, Carmen G on the Couch Time for Tuesdays, actually, we discussed Jacquees saying that he was the best R&B. He was an R&B king now. And now Jacquees is having more controversy with that statement because other artists are like, yo, you're going to do a original project with music that's yours?
I just want to point out something. How are you going to be a R&B king when you definitely aren't beating Chris Brown and his lyrical genius? You're not beating people who have come before you in their genius. You know what I mean? When it comes to it, if you can't sing your own original lyrics, you don't have anything. A cover's great. Don't get me wrong. The fact that you can redo someone else's work, make it your own, that's cool. But that's not going to give you the title as king. It may give you title as cover king, but it's not going to give you the title as R&B king.
I mean, I don't ever remember seeing him as number one for any amount of time. So
I think he dropped one album, and then the other, I think he has two. Can someone fact check how many albums he actually has? Mm-hmm. I want to say it's two, but I know, to me, the best project that he dropped was his EP.
I mean, I can't tell what's an album and what's just a song that he released that he gave a title to.
Nope. Well, he got 4275, Fuck a Friend Zone, 19, which is an EP, Affiliated.
I mean, I guess Mood is an album.
I don't know. I guess
maybe it's a mixtape. I think it's probably a mixtape. There's only three songs there.
Well, this one got 18 songs on it. So, I mean, I guess he has something. I'm going to have to listen to it. I'm going to have to definitely fact. Well, no.
I mean, like, guys, come on. He's king in his heart.
All right, y'all. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello. So, something I've been thinking about a lot lately is the importance of understanding the artistic origins and the integrity of different focuses of art before people go and mess with them. We're kind of in that era where, like, the last three to four years, it feels like there's been, like, this mass production of remakes and, you know, covers or, you know, like, redux versions of all these different songs and movies and stories that, you know, aren't even that old, that we grew up with, or that, you know, that came out and then they tried to do it again. And it's kind of disappointing to me as an artist when that happens, because obviously you can argue that almost everything is a remake or a copy of something that came long, long, long ago. But I think an example of this for me is like The Color Purple. And, you know, The Color Purple got turned into a musical. And I'm Here is the big emotional number that Celie sings after everything she's gone through. And for people who know this, they know this, you know, musical touches on slavery and feminism and abuse and discovering your womanhood and who you are. And I saw a performer who I greatly adore do a cover of it, and they turned the song into a joke. And while she technically may have sang it fairly nicely, you know, she could hit the notes, it was just kind of cringy and embarrassing to see like this serious, beautiful piece reduced to, you know, a show-stopping joke because she didn't understand, you know, the importance of the material. And I don't feel like she understood the artistic integrity of the song. And I don't think you can really touch on something or, you know, begin to change or perform anything until you absolutely understand 100%, you know, what the piece is about. Me personally, I never, ever perform a piece of anything, a reading, a song, a monologue, anything, unless I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I understand the artistic, you know, motivation behind why it was created. If I understand the style in which it was created, why that style is important. And I just feel like that's something that's not emphasized enough sometimes. And then when people criticize the new version of, you know, the artistic thing, people get mad, or, you know, they'll call you a hater or something like that. And it's like, it's not about hating it. It's not about complaining when new styles or new genres or new things come up. It's just about having an appreciation for the original artistic piece, whatever it may be, and understanding that you need to respect that and be able to artistically understand it before you try to go and create something or do your interpretation of it. Because if you don't even understand it, then how can you accurately interpret it? And that's just my thoughts on the matter. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Why do you hate my spunk? Can't you see all I want to do is glisten and jive? Pull a smile from your pretty face, that smile that makes my heart race, quiver with the sounds of its harmony. Can't you see me? That all I want to do is shine bright and hold my head up high, like the diva, queen, goddess, celestial being that I am. So take my hand and jive with me, let it all out, the worries, the pain. And let us strive to this future so bright with our beauty so natural, dripping in gold, covered in lace as we take this moment whole, as we glide in grace.
Gentle, soft, simple, yet complicated. That's how I will describe the very first time my hand slipped the feel of her. In passing, I became infatuated with who she was supposed to be. The ideology of her significance created a sense of power in her name, so much so, I only spoke it quietly. And even that gave my body that tingling feeling. You know, that sensation we don't really like to talk about. I grew to love it. I loved it so much that the love of it grew an addiction for her. She was everything I was ever told was sinful, and the closer I got to her, the more I understood the concept of me, descendant of Eve, dripping the nectar of forbidden fruit down my thighs to this hot, hellish concrete, with many serpents slithering silently waiting to sip the seductress serum that diluted and differentiated me from those of cubic zirconia to this formation of a ruby. It wasn't until I fell in love with Delilah that I realized what it meant to be. See, even in marriage, I sometimes felt my desires for promiscuity was a little too dirty. skirt quilted far past my knees and across at my ankles never taught me how I am to love. And for the longest, I didn't understand. Is it bad? I waited till it was time for passing and I found adventures with my hand. How sensitive, how succulent, how desirable. The feel of her eclipsing for serenity resembled that of a flower blossoming. No one ever told me it was natural to understand how a simple touch can make my knees weak, or what it made my lips so soft, so sweet, so pigmented. Why she looked so different from what others described as normal, or why she felt so fulfilled every time I helped her find her peak. It's interesting how we as females are shamed so we neglect to speak, and we shy away from finding what Sister Maya Angelou once described as gold mines between our thighs. And as I lie, to research another pastime with heightened expectations of new revelations I'd find, it took me nearly all my life just to see the beauty I held so gentle, soft, simple, yet complicated. How sensitive, how sexy, how succulent, how desirable I found I can be. At 3 a.m., as the moon shimmers light into my bedroom and tickles me, with my hand venturing the pride that has grown me into womanhood, quick breaths I catch, closing my eyes, continually enjoying Delilah's sweet treats. And the dripping of nectar from my liberated fruit tickles down my thighs and hits my sheets. It was here I learned just how worthy a simple touch of me can be. How I love Delilah.
Why is it always this way? I try to leave, you beg me to stay. Maybe it was fear that you left or you stayed. Maybe both. I don't know anymore. Words of love once, but all I do now is implore. Chance after chance, and all you did was take, take, and take. I have nothing left. Expiration? Motivation to put me first, no longer you. All you paint is my thirst for you and your love? Sweetie, let's be real. You weren't first choice, not even at the top, so I'm gonna need you to stop. Open your eyes and realize the truth. I could play you as you play me, but that's a fool's game. Full of pain. Full filled with misery. I always thought maybe it's me, but now I think maybe it wasn't meant to be. Constantly trying to be your priority, forcing a space into your life, begging you to let me in, begging to let it be me who you crave to see, but now I'm done. I'm gone. What? Can I say, this is your fate. You reap what you sow. Goodbye. Wait, no, this is your expiration date. Love does not hurt this way. All the questions running through my mind, endless. Why? Was I not enough? Or a little too much? Maybe I was never the one for you. So here I stand. No longer will I cry or try for the sparkle left your eyes. You no longer give a fuck, so why should I?
I live with no regrets, spend till there's nothing left. Do it all, do it all again. Do it all, do it all again.
Do it again.
I live with no regrets, spend till there's nothing left. Do it all, do it all again. Do it all, do it all again.
trying to live my life with no regrets, but it hurt. I'm trying to keep from putting pussy niggas in the dirt. Indirect, they try you in the streets, they walk right by you. It's so hot out here, you think it was the fucking bayou. You let them try you and don't turn up, then you gon' regret. We savages out here, where the fuck they do that at? Not Chirac, where niggas whack for a fucking pack of that anthrax. Shit, they make your lungs collapse. I'm trying to live my life the right way, but it's hard. Some niggas that I rock with turn on me, they fucking frauds. I put their car, you can say I'm wrong, I fuck they bras. Really, all these niggas snakes, I see them coming from afar. I was stupid then, into it with the law, I wasn't listening. Giving them what they want, but now I'm wiser now. Had to go get a job, now I got a family. I'm living life, who would've thought, like a boss.
I live with no regrets.
Go pretend I'll probably do it again. Put a couple hundreds to the side for me and my kin. Make sure my niggas keep their crazy ass up out of the pit. But if you ask me, them niggas made for the streets. They packin' heat and they sleep. I ain't even seen them eat. I seen a whack a nigga roll his ass up in the sheet. And when I asked him what he do it for and what was the beat, he say he was packing heat. It was either him or me. That got a cease. Your brother is not your enemy. Your enemy, they start with a G and with a T on the offensive. All we got is the D. We can't compete. Let's we get ass up out of these seats up in these streets. Teach our kids be who they wanna be. Let go the least. Say what you mean. You ain't gotta hold your tongue. That's cause it's me. That's what they need. And we gotta let go the greed. The hell with liquor and weed. We gotta take how I see. Fuck you mean.
Shorty wanna pull good vibes, yeah. And I just pulled up with the good drugs, yeah. And shorty wanna feel that hood love. They wanna turn up, they want that hood rat shit. Tonight I'm feeling like I'm McLovin. And what I do is probably goes public. And shorty wanna feel that hood love. She wanna turn up, they want that hood rat shit. Tonight we really about to get ratchet. Three shots at a nigga, that's a hat trick. I'm from the west, I hear that hood rat shit. That deuce, it got me feeling fantastic. And shorty wanna shake it fast for a little cash, yeah. And put it on my face, baby, that's a cat skin. We carry his and hers, shorty, we can't lack, yeah. Cause the gang on us, that's a fashion statement. And shorty wanna pull good vibes, yeah. And I just pulled up with the good drugs, yeah. And shorty wanna feel that hood love. They wanna turn up, they want that hood rat shit. Tonight I'm feeling like I'm McLovin. And what I do is probably goes public. And shorty wanna feel that hood love. She wanna turn up, they want that hood rat shit. Ooh, it's about to get bossin'. And shorty bring your sister, friend, and cousin. I play my cards right, no, I ain't bluffin'. She asking what we are, we could be somethin'. Lil' nigga came from nothing and that shit rhetorical. Staff with the 30, turn this bitch to Oracle. Fucked up off the deuce, say, yeah, I'm kinda sorta though.
just enough so I can take you and your friends home.
And shorty wanna pour good vibes, yeah. And I just put up with the good drugs, yeah. And shorty wanna feel a hood love. They wanna turn up, they want the hood rat shit. Tonight I'm feeling like I'm McLovin. Yeah, what I do is private goes public. And shorty wanna feel a hood love. She wanna turn up, they want that hood rat shit. And shorty wanna pour good vibes, yeah. And I just put up with the good drugs, yeah. And shorty wanna feel a hood love. They wanna turn up, they want that hood rat shit. Tonight I'm feeling like I'm McLovin. Yeah, what I do is private goes public. And shorty wanna feel a hood love. She wanna turn up, they want that hood rat shit.
remember them lonely ass nights, 10 licks on a bike, trying to come up on a bike. I remember them lonely ass days, big sis put me out. I was stuck up in my ways, but it's no love lost, and I swear it's okay. I wouldn't be the man that I am this day. Mama told me just pray. Then she had to shake, and I ain't had nowhere to stay, trying to find somewhere I could lay. I swear this shit was crazy. I was mentally unstable. The devil telling me hate you, but I knew that was a favor. Remember, pops told me if it don't make you, it break you. And part of being a man is putting it on the table. But at the time, I'm thinking, like, what were you? Probably in your own bed. Hello, woman, comfortable. So that's when my heart closed. My circle like Cheerios. I started blowing the O's, coming, fuck these hoes. Niggas like, hey, what up, bro? And I'm like, nigga, whoa. Where were you when I was sleeping in a park in the snow? Mama still ain't hip. I read that one article. I'm 15, sleeping on the floor. I read some shit I should know. She got exposed to Janet Tit at the Super Bowl. I don't think I could have did it without a little bro. Had a girl that went on high fit before I lose control. Getting high as heaven like I'm smoking on that Holy Ghost. Holy smoke. Realize that I ain't had nowhere to go. So I'm doing niggas root beer when I let they flow. Come a toe front of 40, had to let that bitty blow. Ready, no. Man, that shit was deep like on a thotty throat. If you pass it, Reggie, can't accept that. Me, my little bro, rolling up the anthrax. If you snitch, no matter what, you a rat. Fuck with you, I cocking back the mousetrap. Like, life been crazy as hell. 17 going through a spell, locked up in a jail cell. High school told boo after the bell. She could cuss it on my lap, give me top, call that Dale. But on a real fool, I'm a real ass dude. If you cross me, I gotta control or delete you. Tighten a loose screw so your brain don't compute what I do. 22, to your dome, now you suit. Motherfuckers want the truth till they get a hand fist. Stop asking for shit that your ass can't handle. That just take the heat, the heart, I melt like a candle. Playing with your feelings, now you crush like an anvil. So we at a standstill, acting like a damsel. Kick that bitch away, straight trash like a landfill. Man, that shit was making me sick, less ill, I mean illness. Let me say it with my chest. A nigga disrespect better on a fucking vest. This is not a game of chess, aiming at your fucking neck. But that's the old me, now I'm thinking slowly. But don't get it misconstrued, I let it blow, B. That after night in a cell make you think. With a nigga you don't know, no sleep, not a blink. Thinking about the family and how this shit is not for me. But niggas get out and run straight to the streets. How? See, niggas never learn their fucking lesson. See your boys all up in heaven and your mama always stressing. You hustling, no progression, you in the same spot. You the same little boy with a nose full of snot. Lying about what you got, what the fuck you feel? Flow. Showing niggas what you got. Know your name, John Doe. Toe tag on the flow. When I get my millies, no, I can't go. Give it to the fam. Beat it how you know.
Night after night. 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 Night after night.
So we'll be hitting you guys up next Sunday. You have a wonderful, safe weekend. Bye.
Hasta luego.
Skiddly bop.
Goodbye.
He really said skiddly fucking bop. Oh my God.
Hey, look, that's going to be the new handle right there. Skiddly bop.
You know, people are going to know you for your weird ass noises. And they're going to know me for laughing at your weird ass noises.
I'm going to have a new sound every week. At least I'm going to try to. That's going to be my new handle, bro. That's going
to
be what's
up. We need to get you a soundboard so we can actually have real sounds. Like, this whole mouth beatboxing thing, it's not working for me. We are a classy podcast. You out here with the hood. There's nothing wrong with hood. I'm just going to stop. Good night, guys.
podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.